Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
A quick reminder that the Instance is supported by the generous contributions of our listeners. You can find more information about what you can get for your contribution at theinstance.net and become a Instance Plus subscriber. Lots of great stuff, very little cost, and it helps the show stay on the air. That's theinstance.net. Become a member today. Enjoy the following programming.
Listening to The Instance.
Hey everybody, check it out. It's The Instance, episode 590. It is February 21st, 2020. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by the lovely, the beautiful, the wonderful Patrick Bejoff from France. Hello, Patrick.
Oh, that. I feel like I don't deserve such praise. Thank you. I'll take it. Thank you, Scott.
All right. I'm happy to give it. Also from America's Wiener, that would be Florida. It is Garrett Weinzerpel joining us once again. After a whirlwind trip to Irvine, a secret trip to Irvine.
Well, it's not very secret if you're mentioning it. Also, I tweeted about it and posted pictures from it and have avoided talking about it.
Yeah, you can't talk about it, though. See, there's all sorts of stuff that went down. Well, we know it was a Hearthstone summit, right? Like,
was
we know
it?
That. Well, that's what
was,
you
said. Maybe was it wasn't. Blizzard is working on mobile games, and the closest thing to mobile gamers they would have in their influencer pool would be people who play Hearthstone, arguably. So maybe it's the presentation of a brand new World of Warcraft mobile version.
Could be. It really could
frankly
be.
Would really like that. If they could please put that out so I could do the more mundane activities on the go, that would be great.
I've been asking for that for years. I have a feeling it's never going to happen, but maybe maybe there's a chance.
In the chat room that makes a good point. Patrick, did you just call me an influencer?
Yeah, you did. I don't think we're you ready. Did you call him an influencer? Oh man. You're the Logan Paul of this setup.
I was going with the marketing-y vibe of mobile, of the mobile world. That's why.
Okay.
I wasn't trying to imply anything disparaging.
Untoward.
The marketing guru with all of the cool kids speak.
Yeah. Look, we take the Logan Paul money without the Logan Paul humiliation.
You floss one time and suddenly you're an influencer.
That's right. That's what happens. You got to start putting hashtag ad on everything you do. So good luck with that. Anyway, hey, so you did go to this thing. It was a Hearthstone summit because you said so on Twitter. That's how I know. And we can't obviously talk about much, but you seem pretty excited coming out of that. Anything you can say about your excitement?
I can say that my excitement is real. I wasn't just blowing smoke on Twitter. I am really excited about the things they showed. God. Yeah, I really can't say anything. And I've gotten a lot of this reply, which is my favorite question so far, which is, when is the embargo lifted? And I'm like, if I could answer that, that means I could tell you when the announcements are happening. I can't answer that.
Can't answer any of those things, right?
It usually leaks though when the embargo, like embargo dates tend to find their way on the internet, even if the contents don't. So maybe we should.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen it leaked anywhere yet. I mean, that being said, I haven't spent too much time on Reddit. Because all I've seen on Reddit is, oh, I'm so sick of these announcements of announcements, and I'm just laughing at it because it's not Blizzard, it's just the people who went saying they went.
Sure.
That's not on Blizzard.
No, that's not on Blizzard at all.
Unless they want to take our phones from us and be like, you can't even say you went and you can't take any pictures. It's
well, I have a prediction. I have a prediction. Man. You want to test my prediction? Here it goes. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to confirm or deny this. But here's my prediction about Hearthstone and its future.
Let me make a really stupid face to begin with so it can't be seen as a reaction. Okay, go.
Okay, here goes. I think that they're going to add a Hearthstone mode to Battlegrounds. I get it, because Battlegrounds is so good that they're gonna have to pull. They're gonna have to pull regular Hearthstone back in as a thing that's like an extra feature in the game, because all anybody wants to do is play Battlegrounds. See what I did there? That's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, incredible. I can confirm Hearthstone is still a thing and Battlegrounds is still a thing, and it will continue being a thing.
Oh, good. That's fantastic.
Okay, so I have one as well.
All right.
Deducing from the fact that Garrett is excited, I would suspect that there is some exciting stuff happening, meaning not just another expansion or another, you know, that kind of regular thing. Maybe there is like new modes and stuff.
Ooh, I'll bet
I'm okay with this, because I think it's pretty safe to assume that like we probably saw some stuff from, you know, modes that we are aware of already, which would mean it's more than an expansion. So yeah, whatever. Sure.
Sure.
Why not?
All right.
Yeah, just get stoked, folks. Like, I'm legitimately stoked about what I saw. Got a lot of hands-on time. Things are cool. It felt finished. I'm stoked.
Call me crazy, but it feels like Hearthstone might be the, well, not the one, but one of the areas of Blizzard that seems to be getting the most cool love right now, if that makes sense. Like,
I mean, it still is the case, and which is why I'm so lucky to do standalone podcasts for the games that I do. Mm-hmm. It's still the case that Hearthstone and Heroes of the Storm, people forget, are, I think, the two most frequently and awesomely updated games in Blizzard's repertoire.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that is all good news. So eventually we'll hear about it. My guess is in 2020, we'll have whatever news Garrett is so closely guarding, and we'll know what's up. Until then.
I ain't no snitch.
Yeah. Until then, he's no rat. He's no snitch. We have this. World of Warcraft Shadowlands beta opt-in has occurred. So if anyone had any concerns about it coming out this year, this feels like another nail in that particular rumor coffin, because they don't normally do opt-in beta stuff for a year when something's supposed to be out and not put it out. I keep getting these messages, though. A lot of people sending emails going, I think Blizzard's going to miss the window on this one. It's not going to happen this year. I don't know why you guys are so sure of it. And I'm like, they've never not done it at this rate. Like, it's always this time in the fall, at this cycle of an expansion.
Yeah, we're right on schedule.
Yeah, it's totally on schedule. I don't know why people think it's otherwise. I think they're letting some of their other misgivings about recent Blizzard decisions sort of get in the way of common knowledge. But anyway, in addition to the first Shadowlands build shipping yesterday, the support article for Shadowlands beta was updated. And it's a good time to get into that beta. It doesn't mean you're going to get in there for 100% sure. Normally we will get something, some kind of opt-in thing, but we haven't gotten anything that I'm aware of. So that may be still coming. I don't know. But anyway, here's what Blizzard said. To put your name into the pool of candidates interested in beta testing Shadowlands, sign up for the Shadowlands homepage using the beta opt-in link at the top of the page. Signing up for beta does not guarantee you'll be chosen to participate, but players who have not signed up to indicate interest cannot be chosen. In other words, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Customer support is not able to provide access to the beta. And I also assume it will not be keys this time around, because it rarely is anymore. They'll probably send out account flagged notifications, so you just, you know, your account's just in once you go sign up. But anyway, it's on the Battle.net site. You can go sign up. And I'm wondering if any of us here have changed their lives drastically to the point that they have now become beta players, because I haven't, because I'm not really a beta guy. I'd rather see it when it's done. Anyone?
I mean, I signed up.
Yeah.
Just in case, I don't know, just to be signed up. I signed up for everything. But I'm not excited about it necessarily. Mm. I have to say I'm a little bit surprised that I didn't get back into WoW more. Mm. And I think I remain to be convinced about Shadowlands. There's some stuff that could be cool, but it's still a little bit too vague. And given where I am in my life as a WoWer now, it's not enough to get me excited. So,
I mean, wasn't there a moment there when you went back for that mount and you were like, all right, hey, whoa. And then it just didn't keep its claws in you this time. Sounds like.
Yeah. It wasn't like super excited about it. I did it for the mount because I really wanted it,
yeah.
But it wasn't, it wasn't, it didn't bring me back in any way.
I get you. So I get you. Garrett, any interest in the beta? You want to get in there and poke around?
I think of, a lot of it's going to depend on how much we want to talk about it on this show, and other shows I do will kind of inform on if I break down and play the beta, if I even get, you know, access.
Sure. But I mean, in the past, you're like me, right? Like, my memory is that we're just sort of like, I'd rather see the finished thing. I don't want to see placeholder images. I don't want to see, you know, I'm glad people test it, by the way. This is the thing I'm super glad for. It's like, I'm happy that, okay, let's look at it as a real world comparison. I'm happy that somebody is out there cleaning out giant clogs in the public sewer system, because without them, it's all going to get jammed up and we're all going to have trouble and our toilets will back up. It'll be a nightmare. But thank goodness that there's a job out there that somebody has that goes and makes sure all those dead raccoons are pushed out of the way so that we can get our flow going, right? Well, to me, that's a little like this. I am so glad there are people willing to be beta testers of all sorts of video games so that we can have better quality assurance, so that we can have better experiences, a less buggy experience at launch. Like, man, you guys are the heroes, but I don't want to be you. I don't want to be you.
That's a little bit of a, I don't know, I don't think it quite fits.
Yeah.
I get where you're coming from. I don't think it's a perfect analogy, I'd say.
I'm not known for my perfect analogies, Patrick. I'm just known for having analogies. Yeah. Anyway,
I don't know. I'm curious enough. I'll probably dip my toe in if I get access, if for no other reason than to kind of test new systems, providing I don't have to like play through the entire damn leveling experience to test those systems, because I don't want to see all of it.
Yeah. A lot of times that is what it is. They'll make you do all 10 levels of it or whatever it is.
Well, I mean, like if you had gone to the Legion, you would have been able to at least dip your toe into the order hall without maxing out.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this time it's a little more interesting, isn't it? Because you've got the first time we've had a proper level squish. So your progression level to level is interesting. Like, it's a new thing to experience and therefore beta test to see if that cadence feels good and all that other stuff. So part of me does want to see that. And normally that's a thing I avoid, because normally it's just 10 more levels added onto whatever your cap is. And in this case, it's different.
I don't know that would be interesting, though.
You don't think so?
You know, in a beta? Well, I mean, the level squish is really just going to be, hey, when you level up, here's what happens. You know, you gain, like, it doesn't,
I mean, if you put it that way, yeah. It's just numbers. I mean, man, that's an opinion and a half.
I love
what
that.
What I mean is,
I love that.
It's just going to be different numbers, and you get a new thing every level, but the level is going to take twice as much time to get as you would have for two levels beforehand, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't think it quite changes a little bit, but I don't know that it's beta testing worthy.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean,
at that and you want to know how it feels, I mean, that's definitely something you want to get in there and try.
Yeah, but I may not want to after like two of them, you know, like I'll get like two levels in and go, okay, I'm good. I know how it feels now. I don't want to do this anymore because I want to save this for the actual release. I think I would still feel that way. But I'm happy for those that do and are happy to do that stuff over again when they get the, you know, full retail experience. But it's just not for me, man. I just don't know if I can do it. And as I say this, I realize I'm basically just telling Blizzard and those who listen to us at Blizzard that we don't want beta access. But hey, look, if you've got it, I got an extra 104 gigs of drive space. I'll fire it up.
I definitely want it. It's the kind of thing, you know, as I get more and more into WoW, from a coverage aspect, you know, not just a player aspect, it's a really good tool to have.
Yeah,
you know, to sure. get in and see and test things, as much as you can.
Yeah, go in there and poke around, man. Look around, see what you can find in the beta.
Yeah, but in the past, man, I've really burnt myself out on new expansions early because of it. So. Lich King, not one of them. I played so much of the Lich King beta, and I still just like played that expansion to hell and back.
I did too. I remember there's a very specific moment, and that's the last time I actually played the beta in any meaningful way, although a little bit of Pandaria. But when I played the Lich King beta, I remember not being able to quit because there was one moment where, if you guys remember, Lich King, one of the features of Lich King, if you want to call it a feature, was an expanded camera distance. So you could see way further than you had in the previous expansions, at least by those days' standards. And I remember coming up over a hill somewhere, don't remember where, but it was my first look at Grizzly Hills, and there was that giant log. You guys remember the big hollow log? It was like a big fallen tree, and it was just like a, almost like a bridge between two zones or something. And I don't know if you guys remember that, but it was right there on the edge, right near that new zone, Grizzly Hills.
Grizzly Hills.
Yeah, and I remember the music swelling, which is, you know, Grizzly Hills still some of the best music in the history of the game. And I remember seeing that log and thinking, oh my gosh, that thing's the size of a building. That's the biggest log. And I got to get to that log. And I couldn't believe that I could go from where I was all the way to that log, whereas previously in BC, you couldn't see that far. So there was no, you know, if there was a log there in BC, you wouldn't know it until you were another 100 miles further in or whatever. And I just was like, oh, look at this, a giant log. I was so into that moment, and it's still seared into my head. So I do have some, you know.
I remember when that patch went live, the first damn thing I did was run out to New Grand and just like, draw distance all the way up.
Yeah.
Still, draw distance is still a thing that I want to have maxed out no matter what happens, if I can.
Yeah.
It's magical for the effect it has on the game for you.
Yeah. Well, the idea of you on like a 7-year-old MacBook, just like 13 frames a second, it's worth it.
Yeah, no doubt. By the way, having played enough with GeForce Now. That's ironic that I said it that way. it made me want Blizzard stuff back on there because I can play it on my crappy old garbage notebook for no reason. And I like that just because I want to be somewhere else, not in front of my rig, you know? I just want them to put that functionality back or hurry up and make their deal with Stadia or do whatever they're going to do because I actually think there's something cool going on there. We talked about that a lot last week.
There has got to be something, like we said last week, they have to have some sort of plan if they're pulling.
The thing we heard recently, though, seems to indicate that might not be the case. Did you see the update from the NVIDIA side? Mm. They said that it was a misunderstanding, which the way I understand this being a misunderstanding is they worked with NVIDIA for the duration of the beta with the understanding that if they ever made it into a commercial product, they would talk to Blizzard about it first. That's the only way I can see how there would be a misunderstanding there. So if that's the case, and it might not be, but if that's the case, it might just be that Blizzard was like, hey, you said you'd talk to us about it before going like full live and you didn't. What the hell?
Yeah.
We would have asked you for money to do it, and that would have been it. So maybe they're gonna, you know, negotiate on that, but I wouldn't be surprised if that was the extent of the, you know, they don't have like some kind of evil plan with Google already kind of in the works.
Yeah, here's an interesting quote. Activision, this is from NVIDIA's side. Activision Blizzard has been a fantastic partner during the GeForce Now beta, which we took to include a free trial period for our founders membership. Recognizing the misunderstanding, we removed the game from our service. We hope that we can work with them to re-enable these and more in the future. So still a little vague as to... That implies that Blizzard was never on board with the idea anyway, or something.
Well, they were on board for the beta, but they didn't, they didn't say it was okay to do the game in general.
Yeah.
For the service in general.
Right now we are focused. Okay, so this is another Blizzard statement. Right now we are focusing on the work between Activision Blizzard and YouTube and Google Cloud specifically, and Activision Blizzard spokesperson told The Verge. So that makes me think that I still hope it's a white label thing and they're not just putting it on Stadia, because that's dumb, because Stadia makes you buy new games and not play your existing ones. At least right now it does. But
they could, you know, say it works differently for Blizzard games. They still need to adapt it to the platform of Stadia, but they could say, well, you do the work and then this is what happened, whatever. A ton of things could happen.
Yeah.
But I had a point I was going to make.
Oh, I know. I could feel it. It was coming at me like a full blast. What was that point, damn it? What was it? It was good.
We'll never know.
Patrick has a point.
The point was, as we discussed last time, it would be surprising if Blizzard had no plans of any kind to take advantage of streaming technology.
I agree. That's still my stance as well. Yeah. We will see. All right. Moving on. This is a bit of a thing that got a little bit of a kerfuffle going, and it also confirms a couple of rumors. Maybe it doesn't confirm them, but it helps stoke the flames of some previous rumors about extending the world of Blizzard games to other entertainment. Diablo and Overwatch animated series seem to have been somewhat confirmed by Nick Van Dyke's LinkedIn profile. He is the president of Activision Blizzard Studios. That sounds like a fake, made-up job, but whatever. Because you know what I mean? Like, there's so many executives in weird places, and you have to give them names. It seems like a weird thing to do. Like, what is his job? Activision Blizzard Studios. He's, what, got a leg in each side, and he's just sort of hanging out there. I don't know what that means. But anyway,
what?
This guy, I don't know what this name of his job, Activision Blizzard Studios president, what is that? What job is that?
He's the president of Activision Blizzard Studios that makes adaptations of their franchises into video properties.
All right. Well, great. It sounds like a great real job to me. Anyway, Nick Van Dyke, this guy on his LinkedIn profile, kind of leaked that Diablo and Overwatch were getting animated series attention. The Diablo series would be anime style, like that Castlevania thing, which is a very cool show, by the way.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right? It's so good.
I know, and I'm with you that this doesn't, beyond the shadow of a doubt, confirm that all of this is happening, but I choose to believe it, and I'm stoked for all of this.
Yeah, I was always on board of
I think it confirms it's happening.
Well, it seems to.
I did go and check that the guy is indeed the guy he says he is on his LinkedIn profile, but I didn't hear anything to say otherwise. I think this is a confirmation, and it's either the biggest mess up leak in the history of leaks, which is like, he must have gotten a spanking if that's the case. But if not, it might be an attempt to change the narrative around Blizzard and people, you know, at Blizzard thinking, okay, everyone hates us now, but if we kind of get people to talk about how we're actually making the thing that everyone's been asking for forever, maybe it will benefit us somehow.
Ooh, I don't always like your tinfoil hats, Patrick, but I like this one.
This is a good one. Yeah, this tinfoil hat you're wearing fits. I'll say that. The Diablo series will be anime style, similar to Castlevania. It's currently in pre-production, says this link, and will be distributed worldwide through Netflix. His profile also mentions that he, quote, developed and sold animated series based on Blizzard's Overwatch franchise. However, further details on the Overwatch series were not revealed. My guess is something like looking a lot like what they do now with the shorts, some sort of 3D approach, not anime or hand-drawn, would be my guess. Anyway, Nick,
I could see them doing something like Dragon Prince, but you know, that actually looks good.
That's possible. Sure. Yeah. I mean, they've done, what was the, didn't they do? The Doomfist, reveal was all sort of anime hand drawn style. Remember that? That was kind of cool.
Oh yeah.
Is that Doomfist? Yeah. I think it was Doomfist.
I don't remember. I don't know. I'm one episode away from finally finishing Star Wars Resistance, and that is 3D, but their cell shading filters on there are amazing, and I could see Overwatch co-opting that style for an animated series.
Totally, that would be pretty cool. But I think it's for the sake of look and consistency. I would be shocked if they didn't do something very akin, maybe a slightly less expensive method, but something close to what they do for their 3D animated short films. And the one that in particular that strikes me as kind of in that vein would be like the Reinhardt one, where they show Reinhardt as a young man and all that. Like, there's something about that particular short that strikes me as TV quality looking thing.
Oh, I mean, that those are really good. I mean, those are full on.
Yeah, they are. But that one in particular, there's something about it. There's like a, I don't know how to explain this, but if you hold that one up against, say, the Hanzo Genji one, there's something about the Reinhardt one that just has a shine to it, or like a, I don't know what I'm trying to explain. It's like a different, different look to it. And I feel
I think that's why I'm not sure I agree, because I think it looks too good to pull off for a series.
You might be right. I mean, you might be right. I don't know, but I've seen some stuff on Netflix like Trollhunters. That thing is gorgeous, like film looking done, good looking series. And it's like two seasons in, plus a spinoff season of some other show. Like, I think they could probably make it look good. But either way, I don't know if this stuff's being... That's the other stuff we don't have details on. Would Blizzard be doing this internally? Do they have a studio, you know, that they're building internally across Activision Blizzard that would actually do the work? Or, you know, would this stuff get subbed out? One would think the Diablo series would be somewhere else. It's not going to be produced.
Given the state of Blizzard today, I would be surprised if they didn't farm it out. And I mean, even before, you know, it's not, they've always, maybe they are, you know, changing their ways, but even this is a division of Activision Blizzard, as I understand it. It's not Blizzard themselves. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'd just be surprised if it was made by Blizzard directly, which doesn't mean they wouldn't be involved, but.
Well, there's also a note here about, it says in his profile, with my creative partner, authored development strategy for the Call of Duty cinematic and television universe. Is that a thing? Can you watch Call of Duty, like, series someplace?
Television?
Maybe that's still in the works. I don't know. Maybe that's just not out. That was super vague, too. But it's like a resume. We're basically looking at his CV here. It's like, you know, he's naming off all this stuff he's done.
Yeah.
Without,
are we gonna offer Van Dyke here a job here at the instance? I mean, how's this resume stacking up to the rest of the applicants?
You know what? Just for a one off, get him in here, quick interview, send him on his way, not pay him a dime. So it'll be like an intern thing.
Be like every interview I had with Blizzard.
Yeah. Exactly right. Anyway. We'll see what happens. He also talked a bunch about the Skylanders show, which I guess was a thing. When Skylanders was also a thing.
God, do you remember 65 million years ago when Skylanders ruled the world?
Yeah. Toys to life, baby. It was the hot new business. Everybody was so excited about it. And then we had that giant argument here on the show about whether Blizzard would ever get into it or not. And then
Fortnite came in and was like, no, Toys to Life is dead.
Yeah.
Move on.
Yeah, kind of. Toys on screen.
Died before Fortnite showed up.
Yeah, it was dying if it wasn't already dead.
Fair. But like the last time I thought about like kids being completely consumed by a video game, like it was. I guess Toys of Life was going in tandem with Minecraft, wasn't it?
Kinda, but also I would argue that Nintendo still benefits from having that amiibo stuff, not from a gameplay perspective or inclusion in the game stuff. Those are all pretty minor, but.
Yeah, Nintendo Amiibos, though, I feel like that's more like it's a niche thing. It's like a Hummels or Precious Moments for 85-year-olds.
Kind of, yeah.
But like that for Nintendo fans.
Yeah, I have a whole bunch of them back here, and I love them, and I'll never part with them because Nintendo's a weird egg, and they get to get away with stuff like this. But yeah, you're right. That was a dying breed. Turns out, you know what, you guys, when we had that argument, Patrick, and you were so vehemently against my position that Blizzard might get into this because of Activision's, you know, investment in their Skylanders stuff. I think at the time I was arguing if we would have been able to sustain the popularity of Toys to Life as a genre, then I still to this day think that Blizzard might have gotten involved somehow, or they would have done something with their products and their characters. However,
could have worked really cool for Heroes.
Yes, it would have been great for Heroes, which I think
the
was
only
the
game that makes any game
well
sense
that
for me.
Game did. So,
I mean, you know, 2020 hindsight, all that. But
I mean, you could argue it would do well for any of their games.
Yeah,
you know. But yeah, what you're trying to say, Scott, is that even though you were wrong, like you still were kind of right.
No, I was wrong.
My favorite thing, man, as the third wheel on this show, is like listening to Scott say something. I'm like, this is gonna set Patrick off.
Yeah, it totally is. I know how to
hate bait Patrick into an argument.
I know how to peel his orange. But here's the thing: when I was making that argument, they also hadn't started doing a lot of little minifigs and stuff. So it was a little consolation that eventually, you know, they did do a line of little figures and little things and. You know, that kind of counted, sort of, not really, but kind of.
Not really. But Scott, you know I'm the first one to come to your defense, but no.
That's true. It didn't really work out.
Not in this way, no.
I like it when I get a prediction right, and that one was a bummer. All right. Anyway, so I am looking. What'd you say? Sorry.
I'm trying to be an idiot.
Oh, no, I like when you're an idiot. Be an idiot. Idiots are good.
Oh, you were like, oh, I like it when I get a prediction right. And I'm like, when did that happen again?
It happens all the time. All the time. I mean, not all the time, but sometimes, once in a while, I get one right. I still think I'm right about
everyone's right sometimes.
I know you're right about that. Like, I've been right for how many years about Diablo 4 being announced, and then I was finally right. So, but I also I think my prediction last week and reiterated today that Battle.net will become a streaming game service for Blizzard games. I still think there's something to that. So that's my big prediction everyone needs to hang their coat on right now and see how it goes over the next couple of years. If I was wrong, I'll eat crow happily, hand over fist, not a problem.
I mean, it is a very reasonable thing to predict. You know, it as we said, it would be surprising if Blizzard didn't have something in the works in the streaming department. And that does mean, I mean, they're not going to ask you to install another client for...
One would think not.
...needs, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It would make sense if they're doing that.
The big question is whether they want me to install some other third-party client that isn't them. And that's the part I'm convinced about, is that they're going to want to do it themselves. Just like they want to do with, you know, Battle.net. I'm sure there was a time in the history of the company when Steam was on a huge upswing that they were in discussions or at least tempted to put Blizzard games on Steam before the Battle.net client happened, back in whatever year that was. But they don't want to do that. Blizzard has always wanted to try to do their own thing internally. They don't sub out cinematics to other studios because they want to do it. So, you know, unless something like that is drastically changed. Oh, Patrick's video went away. Patrick, your video went away? Hello, Patrick.
Sorry. I thought he was not going to show up.
Oh, but he showed up, did he? Is it just in time to barf on you? I want him to barf on you. That'd be amazing.
No, he's not barfing.
I would like to see the baby.
Tu dis bonjour?
Oui, oui.
Tu dis bonjour à Scott?
Oy. Oh, the poor little dude.
It sounds like my plane ride home from Irvine.
This is not a great time to fly, Garrett.
I'm going to take him back to the... sleeping thing.
Yeah, no worries. So Garrett,
I'll be back in a second.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right, no worries. So you're I'm gonna leave the camera the way it is because he'll probably come back. What was I gonna say to you? I forgot.
Something about my flight.
Oh yeah. So it's like a 3.5-hour, 4-hour flight from Florida to
I can never not connect through Atlanta. Because I would rather fly from my little podunk airport than drive an hour to Tampa to find maybe a direct flight.
Sure.
That's not even a surefire thing. Sometimes that still connects in Atlanta. So I do an hour to Atlanta and then, like 3.5-4 hours out to California. It's a day, man.
So when you're on there, you're in that flight this time, you know, right now with all this coronavirus freak out and everything. Did you see people in like little masks and stuff?
Yeah. The most masks I've ever seen.
Oh, really? That's interesting. And
he can't go away if you don't wave goodnight.
Oh, that's adorable, though.
You guys wave.
Bye. Good night, little dude.
I don't know how to say good night in French.
Au revoir. Is that right? Or is that just goodbye?
Goodbye. Oh, we left. Nice. That's adorable.
Wee wee poo poo. That's what you say.
Man. Lots of masks. Lots of masks right now. If anyone's curious what it's like to fly on their Blizzard podcast.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, you're not wearing one for this trip, did you? Or did you?
I considered it, and then I did a bunch of research and found out that it doesn't really actually do that much unless you get specifically like a respirator.
Oh,
medical masks actually do more to stop you from spreading germs, not so much germs coming in.
That's good, though. So if anyone else was sick, maybe they were, you know, helping you out.
By the way, raising my hand, not a doctor. This is what I read on Google. Take anything I say with a big ass grain of salt.
Wait a minute. You're not a doctor? I've been misled. I didn't understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. We're going to have to end our relationship here.
I saw on Twitter, because Crip, really crazy popular Hearthstone streamer, that was also out at the thing, had this crazy, looked like a Sub-Zero or Scorpion mask, but it was like a proper respirator, and I need to find where he got this.
Oh,
thing,
that's cool. That's really cool. Does mist from the ice from because he's Sub-Zero, does it come out of the mask like a little?
I would assume it's if you're Sub-Zero is not undead, right? That's Scorpion.
Yeah, that's Scorpion.
I was gonna say, man, if you're like an undead ninja that was betrayed by your friend Sub-Zero, then yeah, that's probably the case. But
that's cool.
It's just Crip.
It'd be cool if the Sub-Zero or the Scorpion one yelled, come here and get over here intermittently throughout the day with a little sound chip.
Yeah. That's how I summon peanuts on the airplane when I'm wearing one of those. I just yell, get over here.
That's right. I need a beverage.
And then they go, we're sorry. There's a person with peanut allergies. We're not allowed to serve these.
Oh, is that how that works? If
someone happens every time I'm on a plane, man. And I always bring peanut M&Ms.
Oh, no.
So it's like my airplane snack of choice.
Yeah.
And every plane I get on, they're like, whoop.
Somebody on our thing has a peanut allergy. We will not be serving peanuts on this plane. Yeah. If you brought a peanut-based snack, please refrain from opening it. Thank you.
Every plane I get on, man, it's wonderful.
Weird, you're being targeted somehow. All right, well,
I still stink my peanut M&Ms. I'm sorry.
What?
He's just Patrick. Don't you ever put people in intermittent danger? Just
mortal danger.
Yeah, don't you ever do that?
Well, I probably do actually. So yes, I'm sorry. That's true.
There was that time I rubbed gluten all over your face. Remember that? I had a handful of gluten and I just rubbed it all over Patrick. Do you remember that? That was a fun
that's
time.
That's not an allergy. It's just intolerance.
Oh.
So I'm just kind of a gluten, not racist, but genus. it doesn't kill me. It just makes me really kind of an a-hole towards wheat-based products.
Oh, I gotcha. Because after I rubbed it all over you, you just farted all afternoon. It was really to my detriment that I did it in the first place.
That's not too dangerous, farting,
you know,
is it?
No, it's fine.
I would like to reiterate, as I have admitted to being a jerk, that people with peanut allergies, it is very serious, and you should respect their allergy.
Yeah, totally. And how I feel bad those people can never go to a Five Guys Burgers and Fries because they got those peanut things everywhere.
I would imagine, that would just be like being gassed for them.
That's a bummer.
Everyone in there is just cracking peanuts open, it's all over the floor, and it's all over the table.
Yeah, it's bad. I feel bad for them, but I also love that place, so sorry. I guess we're going to enjoy it without you. All right. Yep. Let's say a quick thing here that I wanted to make sure to mention before we get to other things going around. Blizzard, a semi-goodbye, not really, because she's just moving to another position, but I wanted to let Lindsay Churro know that we're thinking about her. She announced on Twitter yesterday that her job in the PR capacity she is currently in on the Hearthstone team is changing, and she's going to be moving to a different place on the team, which she didn't get too specific about. But she's one of my favorite human beings at Blizzard. And has always just been an incredible person to work with, talk to, hang out with at BlizzCon. Just the sweetest human being. And just wanted to wish her well, whatever it is she's going to do. Do you know, did she tell you while you were there what she's going to do? Do you know what she's doing?
Yes, I know.
Sorry.
No, not my place to tell, but it's also like not the kind of thing that is like a big secret. It's just not forward facing in a community way at all. So I'm really sad about this. Obviously, it's great for her. And I've told Lindsay as much. She is very aware about how bummed I am. But Lindsay has been helping us out over on the Angry Chicken since the fifth episode, since the very freaking beginning of that show. And she has gone so out of her way so many times to make sure that we have access to devs and get interviews and do things like BlizzCon. You know, she's been a part of all of that. And she'll be the first one to tell you that it's not all her. And I'm aware of that. But she's the first damn person that ever made us feel like we mattered over at Blizzard. And because of that, and also she's just become a friend over the years. Like we love Lindsay. We make sure to just say hi to her, even years when it's not her job to, do anything with us. This is a big one. This is on the level of when Lashes was sadly caught up in the layoffs.
Still rubs
it's me like, around. Oh man, I'm going to really miss working with this person. Cause it's in a professional aspect, right? You have to do work with them, but some people are just a blast to work with. And Lindsay's one of those people. And I'm going to miss working with her in that way.
I agree. It's weird because given that she was, 100% Hearthstone most of the time, when I first met her, she was still doing some stuff for the WoW team. It was before Hearthstone really took off and she went over there full time. But it didn't matter down the road, even when she was just neck deep in Hearthstone stuff, she would reach out and say, hey, I happen to know so-and-so's looking for interviews, and it would be nothing to do with Hearthstone, some WoW thing. And she would like reach out and like make that happen. Or I wanted to make sure that Holinka could come to our live thing at BlizzCon. And he was currently in, at that time, he was in a position where he needed a PR person there. She's not even on the WoW team, and yet there she is sitting with us, hanging out, talking, making sure everything went okay. She was just above and beyond all the time in her capacity, and it's a rare thing. So anyway, hats off to Lindsay. Yes, Patrick.
No, I'm not going to add too much about this because people are going to think, I don't know, there's something weird. I don't know, but... I actually worked with her when I worked at Blizzard, and I confirm she was absolutely awesome. There are many people I enjoyed working with. There are people I didn't love working with. You know, it's always like that when at any job.
Yep.
She was definitely one of the people that I loved working with, and she was super, like... She would be helpful in a way that others are not necessarily. She didn't just think about her job and what she needed to achieve for her. She thought about what you needed and how to make you get that.
Yeah.
And that's rare in those types of corporate environments. So anyway,
totally agree.
I mean, she's still at Blizzard. She's still there and she's still on the team. So it's not like she left or anything, but yeah, she's cool.
Yeah, she's really good. So if you ever see some really loud pink hair at a BlizzCon, you might be looking at Lindsay. And if you do, say hi, because she's great. And she'll always
Just yell thank you for all the anger chicken interviews.
There you go.
Don't preface it with anything. Just shout that in her direction. So she just goes, huh, what?
Yeah. And she, for some reason, she was always down at the press desk when I would get there to get my badge, always. And she didn't need to be down there either, but she was helping people out.
I don't think I've ever gone to pick up a badge and recognized anyone that was there. always folks I'm unfamiliar with.
It's usually when I was there, it was always somebody. She was usually the one, but there was always somebody there. It was like, oh yeah, listen to that. But she would go out of her way. Like if there was a total jacked up thing with Nick's ticket one year when Nick went with us, and she's the one that fixed it. Like, there's just no other way around it. She's the one that would text me in the afternoon and go, hey, an interview opened up, and it sounds like something you'd like. Like, man, that's hard to find anywhere, any job, any place. So yeah. I hope wherever she's at now, they appreciate her there, because she'll kick butt for whatever part of the team she's working for now.
Well, all right. Yeah. I'm sure I can at least share this line. The joke she made was like, dude, I'm literally just scooting my desk over.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of a pain. You got to move all your shit around. What a pain. So, all right, well, good luck to
awesome folks. It's gonna miss her,
but yeah, but maybe someone will step up in her place and blow our minds. We don't know. I'm not gonna
that has certainly been my experience as people have come and gone, like on the Angry Chicken on a very recent episode. We were kind of lamenting like all the old guard, like, because for us in over on TAC, like, it was a really special thing. Like, it was a show that kind of put us on the map, and
sure.
And our relationship with the devs and with the community team were just unlike anything we'd ever really experienced before. And, you know, a lot of them are gone to second dinner at this point. Like Ben Brode and Yang Wu, who were staples on the Angry Chicken for a long time, you know, left to go found that studio.
Yeah.
And Lindsay was kind of like this last bastion of like the OG Team 5 crew that we dealt with. Yep. There's still a lot of original Team 5 members around. But so we were kind of talking about that, funny enough, on a very recent episode.
That's great.
And so it's just, I don't know, man. Like, I'm sure some folks out there listening, like, and I actually don't really get a lot of this, but I'm sure someone out there is like, oh, man, no wonder they're so biased towards Blizzard. You know, they're so, you know, talking about, you know, how much they like these people. But like, it's like, I don't know, man. It's like, I've been doing this job a long time. You become friends with people.
Yeah, and can't help it. It's all about humans and relationships.
Some people over at Blizzard are just really nice people, and they're nice to be around.
Yeah, that's true. They tend to be, especially on the community side. All right, we're going to do this now. Let's take a look at what's going on around Blizzard outside of everything we've talked about. StarCraft Ghost got leaked. Yeah, that's right. The 2005... banished, canceled project, originally an OG Xbox game, and game. I think they were making GameCube and PS2 versions as well. Got canceled way back then, famously. And this is back, you know, Blizzard used to be at E3. They showed off like a full blown cinematic at E3. It's like a big deal, and then
kaput.
Well, somebody leaked a full working build of the thing. It apparently is spreading all over the place. People are using it on emulators and other stuff now. Seen plenty of footage of it. And it is kind of what you think it is. It's a third-person shooter with what's her name? I can't think of her name.
Nova.
Nova, sorry. Nova's name left my brain for a minute. Running
Starcraft
around shooting stuff.
Pants.
Yeah,
that's certain.
Starcraft shooty pants, and there's a little bit of stealth in there. My understanding, it was more stealth than shooter, but this footage makes me think it was more shooter than stealth. And yeah, it looks like, you know, one of those. Definitely a thing of its time. It doesn't seem to break too much new ground, as best I can tell. I haven't seen a ton of it, but enough of it to say it looked interesting. So I don't know.
It looks like a game I would have very much enjoyed playing at the time. It does not look like it would have stood the test of time as strongly as a lot of other Blizzard games have.
I agree. I mean, part of the thing we're missing here is the iterative process, because this was a non-finished build. It was also, you know, who knows how far they were from actual release from that particular build, and they would have tweaked it and massaged it and done stuff over time. I mean, they can't really patch it in the same way in those console days, but you know, the GameCube, really, you just had the game and that was it. Maybe that's what held them back. Maybe that was part of the cancellation. They don't have the kind of control they have over PCs when they patch things at the time. It'd be different today, of course, but anyway, I've always just been a little bummed it didn't make it, but if you want to see what that was, go ahead and take a look. It's out there, floating around. Although, I think they were playing a little bit of whack-a-mole on YouTube, trying to get rid of videos of it, or somebody is, because stuff kept getting pulled.
I believe the link to the actual leak, it has been since taken down. I don't think you can get this anymore.
Yeah. So it's a little more clandestine now. I've seen it on Daily Motion. I saw it on library.tv. I saw it on a few other places. So
definitely
it's
don't send me a copy of it. If
yeah,
you have it,
yeah,
definitely don't get that in my hands. I do not definitely want to play it and talk about it whenever multiple years have passed and I wouldn't get in trouble for this anymore.
Yeah, definitely not. Definitely not want that, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get it.
It has to be retorrent site in the world now if it's really leaked, right?
Oh, yeah. You can get it. Yeah. Like, you can get it and play it if you know who to talk to and where to get it. It's all sneaky, but... You know, you can get stuff done if you need to. I am not going to go that far with it because I don't want to know that it's aged out of its potential. Like, that'll bum me out.
Dude, I feel like we already know that, though.
I mean, I guess we do.
You can watch the footage. Like, the link you've got, that footage hasn't been taken down.
Yeah,
I mean, this,
you're right.
This looks like an old game that is chasing trends of the time and...
Yeah, there's a little Splinter Cell in there, a little Metal Gear, a little bit of, I don't know, not Gears of War, but I don't know.
There's no chest high walls, so yeah. I wouldn't call it Gears of War.
There's no like adhere to the wall sort of cover mechanic. It's just sort of sneak around and shoot Zergs in the head and stuff.
Yeah, I always thought a Gears of War style game would work really well for the StarCraft universe, and I still kind of hold to that.
Mm-hmm.
Once Gears 2 dropped and Horde mode came in, I was like, oh my god, just put me in this marine suit and send Zerg at me. I would play that mode.
That'd be a cool mod. Someone should just make that for the PC version of 5 or something. They should do that.
Yeah.
Although I don't know that they let people...
I need like 300 enemies on screen at once. I need... What's that game? They're all the same.
Oh.
They made a Zelda version.
Oh,
Dynasty Warriors.
Dynasty Warriors, yeah.
I need
yeah.
Dynasty Warriors, like, enemy on screen tech combined with Gears of War's actual fun combat.
I love that idea. I mean, I don't want it to be called Dynasty Warriors StarCraft 2 or StarCraft, you know, but I want that kind of massive battle thing.
Gears of Dynasty Warriors.
There you go.
Gears of Dynasty Wars. That's what I want.
That sounds like something you could actually get on a mobile phone. That sounds like a name of a game that probably already exists.
Yes, most likely.
Legends in there, or yep. Champions.
Champions, yes. Legends, Clans.
Clans. Oh, God, yeah. If you can get Clans in there.
Somebody's got to have a name one of these funny name web name generators for a mobile game thing somewhere. Just put in, like, put in your favorite food. Now put in your favorite thing. And then and poops out a fake mobile game name. I love that.
Branding your game based solely on SEO that week. That's my favorite way to name your game.
Brilliant. All right. Oh, one other thing I wanted to mention. Patrick, I played a crap ton of your French-made Wolson game.
Oh, right. Yeah, it's pretty good.
What? Because it's out now. So it's good. It's really good. It's a Diablo-like in every way. And it's also a lot like Path of Exile in a few ways. They've taken kind of the best of those two ideas, some of their ideas, and mushed them together in an action RPG. And the combat's really good, like fun and fluid and intense and graphically very cool. And it's a good hold me over until I get me some Diablo 4 in my life. Like legitimately, they've had some problems, big server issues. So I'm playing an offline character right now because the servers kind of keep going up and down. So there's a lot of anger about that. But as far as like the offline character and me getting through the story and opening up this sort of adventure, their version of adventure mode has been fun. And it's a cool game. It's actually pretty rad. It's on Steam. I'm impressed. I've had it since, oh gosh, early access, and it was pretty rough in the early days, but it's all right. Killing stuff, blowing things up, looking good while I'm doing it. It's fun. I like it. So, Patrick, good job on that recommendation. Nice work. Nice work indeed. All right. Now this.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
All righty. Let's do a quick town crier. This is an email sent to us from Zach to theinstance@gmail.com. He says, hey, guys, I used to exclusively play World of Warcraft and would really only dabble in other MMOs. Long story short, I let my sub lapse about a year ago, and I didn't really play any other MMO during that time. I recently got back into SWTOR and questioned what kept me playing WoW for so long without ever giving other games a shot. Star Wars The Old Republic has everything I like in a game. Good story, great customization, and an awesome player housing system. It is definitely scratching the itch and more, but couldn't really come up with an answer to why I didn't play other games. Just wondering what keeps you from playing other MMOs. Thanks for the feedback, Zach. Nothing keeps me from doing it because I do enjoy other games. Now, there's some people who get mad at me every time I don't at least acknowledge that Final Fantasy 14 is a big game and that everyone loves it. I don't play it, so I don't know, so I can't really speak to it. But I do play ESO here and there. I like Elder Scrolls Online a lot, and it's kind of my yang to my WoW yang. Those are kind of my two. It's my backup MMO, let me put it that way. And it's just because that one just appeals to me in lots of ways. I like the aesthetic of it. I like the Elder Scrolls universe. I like the tone. I like what you do in it. It's just different enough from WoW in terms of its basic mechanics that it feels like I'm not just doing the same thing over there. Big focus on story and voiceover and lots of cool sort of cinematic stuff. I really like that about that game. So, there is nothing wrong with people liking another MMO. But as far as what keeps people from playing other MMOs, I mean, I don't know. Does anyone here have a reason why something would stop you from checking out another MMO or sticking with another game like that?
Time commitment.
Time maybe.
Yeah.
Time's a good one.
There's an element of like you're comfortable with a specific thing, which is good. Like, why do you not change banks? Although that may not be a good example, but it's comfortable, and I think that's part of the things we like about MMOs. It's the fact that it is comfortable and we do know what we're doing, and it might not be technically the best thing that you could have, but since you're enjoying the what you're getting into there, it's comfort part of it. And the other part is that I think it might have been that he didn't want something else. Like, he started trying the other thing when he got tired of WoW. Mm-hmm. But if you're not tired of WoW, I don't think that you would, or, you know, any other game, I don't think you need to go look for something else. And it's rare. I don't think that many of those games are objectively better than the others. It's not like, oh, you're just playing this one, so you're not getting the benefits of that other one that does this and this and that, which makes it so much better, than what you're getting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's just that maybe he was ready, and that's the difference. You know, he wanted something else, so he went and looked for it and got it.
Yeah, and that might have been just exactly what you needed, because you're in a completely different setting. You're in familiar Star Wars territory. You're suddenly doing something totally different with a character that's very different than what you used to do. And you're working, you know, toward different kinds of goals. And that's probably super refreshing if all you've done is focus entirely on WoW for a very long time. My guess is he'll at some point get down the road and go, what's WoW doing these days? And he'll check back in and go, oh yeah, this is like being home again. I'm going to play this for a long time. And that's okay too. Like, you should totally do all of those things and enjoy whatever you enjoy. The nice thing about WoW is it will, of all the MMOs, will likely be the one that will always be there waiting for you. Other MMOs may come and go, but it's, you know, that thing's got roots so deep, it's never going to leave our lives. So, you know, if you need to come home, get a little hug from Thrall, you can. You need to go out and cheat with someone else? No, I'm just kidding. You do what you got to do. I mean, Garrett, you said time, and time's a big deal, right? Like,
time is the big one for me. Because WoW used to be like my only game kind of back in its heyday. And I would then go dabble in other MMOs because I was like just playing WoW. So it was actually kind of easy to go and find time to go play other MMOs. But now, like, I find it like I tried getting into Final Fantasy and I'm like, well, this is an MMO. And yeah. I don't have time for this. And I prefer the world of Azeroth more anyway. So.
Yeah,
it would need to be something significantly different, which I think is what honestly ESO kind of capitalizes on. Mm-hmm. ESO feels like playing an Elder Scrolls game. Mm-hmm. So if you like that, you're going to like it. And if you don't like that, you're not going to like ESO. But it is, in my mind, one of the more drastically different MMOs out there.
I think that's why why it appeals to me, because if I go over and just play Guild Wars, which I really respect and like Guild Wars 2, I think it's cool.
Guild Wars 2 is a very solid MMO.
It's a great MMO, but it's the WoW template in such a way that it does feel like you're being a little redundant when you're over there. You're like, well, if I'm doing this, why am I not just over there working on this thing I know I'm going to go back to when that expansion hits? Like, you always have that feeling. Whereas when I'm playing ESO, it's like saying I'm going to take a break and play Madden or something. It's different enough. Yes, it's still a fantasy game. Yes, it's still an MMO with a lot of those trappings, but the actual process of playing that game is a very different experience. And so that's usually what appeals to me outside of WoW. Is just something different, not something the same.
Yeah, for me, honestly, what has really done more to, I think, harm my play of non-WoW MMOs more than anything else is the Diablo-like games. Mm-hmm. You know, your Destinies and your Divisions and your Warframes of the world that are, you know, MMO adjacent.
Yeah, yeah.
Like those have, like, when I want to break from WoW, I want to go play those games.
Sure.
I don't want to go play another MMO.
Yeah, I know that feeling. I get in weird moods, though. Right now, I'm really into this really small game where I go down and mine for gold and kill creatures and come back and spend that on upgrades. Like, that's my game to go to right now is a little game called Undermine, and I love it.
Oh, I was like, are you playing Moonlighter?
No, but it's a lot like, it's actually a lot like the, it's like Moonlighter without the sales part. Moonlighter's amazing. Moonlighter is a really
cool
game.
I've been meaning to play it. Kyle and I talked about it. On another podcast recently, and he had a lot of good things to say about it.
Yeah, it's very good. It's a weird,
and it's on freaking Game Pass, which I have, so I don't know why I'm not trying it out.
Oh, again, that time thing, right?
Yeah. No, you're right. I've been playing Forza again lately as my game that I don't have to talk about.
I want to get in there and play that. Don't they have a battle royale mode or something?
I haven't tried it yet. I've been playing again because they're finally adding Toyotas to the game, and I have a fond place for a lot of Toyota's cars.
Well, you wanted it, you got it. No, what was their old phrase in the 80s? Toyota? Toyota had a, you asked for it, you got it, Toyota. Do you remember that? Well, no. You were a kid. You wouldn't have
known. I was born in 87 and didn't really have a memory until the early 90s.
That's
so
a good point. Yeah, you probably missed
it. I can't really help you with that.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't need help with it. But I'll tell you this, Zach, we love getting your emails, and people like Zach should send them in. Theinstance@gmail.com is the place to send it. A quick note, little melancholy weekend for me. The town crier, Nick Johnson, my son, who when he recorded that was about 8 years old, is 19 and is moving out this weekend. He found an apartment. He's super stoked. It's the right price, the right place, close to where he works. All of the stuff is good. It's a very positive moment in everybody's lives, but we're sad because it's just weird to have him leave.
Are you empty nesters now?
We are officially, after this weekend, empty nesters. It feels weird to even say it. I can't even believe the words are coming out of my mouth, but yes, Kim and I will be empty nesters.
God, I think I just grew like 20 new white hairs.
You can have some of mine, man.
Man, okay. Oh, this is so wild for me. This is like the first time I've ever like known a kid that actually grew up.
Yeah.
Like I've watched it happen in movies and like Game of Thrones and Harry Potter. Like I understand the concept of watching someone actually age like that isn't you.
Yeah.
But this is close to home.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's weird. That's to wild. Think that
congrats.
That Nick. Kid that's, with that's that sick. Tiny little voice. Let's see. Let's play this real quick. Let's do this one more time. Hold on. Here he comes right here.
Why? Nope.
Hear ye, hear ye.
That's when he was 8 years old. How weird.
Goodness gracious. Oh, man.
Yeah. Now you got it. That's right, everybody. I'm old now. I mean, we started the show like 15.
Boomer. Yeah. Oh, I got called a boomer at the Hearthstone Summit.
Oh, please. By who? who called you a boomer?
Still... It was clearly a joke, but I was talking to a really popular streamer. We were comparing notes about how we do things. And I was like, well, when I started making content, Twitch didn't exist. And the guy like, it was like, oh, you're like a boomer.
Oh, nice. Nice.
I'm like, yes,
I like how that's just the standard thing now. Yeah, exactly. It's like you are all these labels are dumb anyway. Millennial, Gen X, boomer. All that stuff sucks. But I am happy to not be a boomer. I'm happy to be a Gen Xer because Gen Xers don't give a shit. That's our defining characteristic, right, Patrick? Gen X does not care what you think. F off is what we say here in the Generation X. Take that.
I don't even care that you're asking me the question. That's how much I care.
Where's my ratty jeans?
I do care that I'm not a boomer. I'm pretty happy not to be a boomer. Although boomers have done, it's not a popular thing to say nowadays, but boomers have actually done a lot of good and improved the world quite a bit. If you don't stop at breaking the planet and the environment.
Yeah, but there's some.
It's almost like all generations have good and bad people because there's so many people born in any year.
Right.
No, that's not what I mean. Nuance to that discussion.
Yeah.
No. That's not what I mean. There's a sentiment that the legacy of the boomer generation is the ecological nightmare that we are soon going to enter. And that's the only thing that they have done,
right,
kind of.
Right.
And that's what I'm disputing. There's like the world has improved. Go back and look at what the world was actually, 50 or 70 years ago. You wouldn't like the picture it paints.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's kind of what Garrett's saying, and I agree with it. It's like it's such an arbitrary, dumb thing. All this... It's lazy and easy for some Gen Zer to go, okay, boomer, because it's just too easy and too broadly based.
I do it too now. I think it's I do it too. I think it's kind of funny.
It is funny, but it's also too easy, and it's also too easy for people to make fun of millennials when you know, again, it's a nuanced, complicated human conversation. Like everyone sucks. Everybody sucks, and everybody's great. And it's all a big mix of in between, and we should stop worrying about it. But because everyone's planting their flag, I'm going to say Gen X is the way to go. That's where you want to be. Right there.
I can't wait for both of you to become really interested in Corvettes and high socks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm already there with the high socks. Are you kidding?
Oh, yeah. Now you just need a Corvettes guy.
Yep. Got the yellow and blue stripes on it up here at the top, up near the knee. Oh, yeah, baby. It's good stuff.
He's going to start spending weekends at the golf course.
Yep. Little tiny shorts, like a testicle hanging out.
I mean, that's the thing, right? You, I'm sure we're cool now, but when we're really old, that's when we're going to start being like, yeah. Anyway, I'm going to stop.
I don't know what we're going to be. All right. That's going to do it for today's show. And quick round the horn here on what people are doing so people can kind of catch up. Patrick, what are you doing in the world of podcasts and content creation?
You know what? It's been a really trying week on many levels. And just here you go. Just follow me on Instagram, not Patrick, on Instagram.
All right.
I do cool stuff there.
All right.
That's it.
I follow you over there. It is good stuff. Garrett, how about you? What do you want to mention?
Garrett Art on Twitter, Amove TV for all the podcasts. You should probably go subscribe to The Angry Chicken if you're even remotely interested in Hearthstone, because there's some stuff coming. There's some stuff.
It sounds like it. I keep hearing about this stuff that's supposedly coming, and I'm very excited
about
it.
And that stuff I hear is exciting.
Well,
it is. It's, I want to say so much, and I can't.
All right. I'm telling you, they're going to add Hearthstone to Battlegrounds. Very exciting.
Please keep inviting me, Hearthstone team. That said, boy, it was easier when I wasn't invited to these things.
Well, anyway, we'll find out more about that soon enough, I'm sure. In the meantime, make sure you check out theinstance.net. You can also find us on Twitter at Instance Show. You can find me at Scott Johnson. Garrett mentioned his, but I'll say it again. Garrett Art, not Patrick for Patrick. And more shows like this at frogpants.com. Oh, and I put up a new comic. So if you guys are interested in reading a dumb comic about a guy and his sentient can of expired cream corn, you can find that over at fredcancomic.com. Brand new episode up now.
Is that expired?
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's totally expired. That's a big part of it.
The latest one gave me mad anxiety.
Yeah, it's about taxes, man. Taxes. You want to have some anxiety about taxes? Good. So does Fred and his can. So check that out. FredCanComic.com. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back next time with a whole nother episode. Until then, have a fantastic week. Play lots of Blizzard games, and we'll see you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
In the game of horrific visions, Nazoth begins to bluff. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. While Stormwind and Orgrimmar have been the focus of Horde and Alliance efforts to push back the insanity being spread by Nazoth, the old god has not hesitated to open a new front in the psychic battle. I've been receiving increasingly frantic messages from my relatives in Thunder Bluff that many there are experiencing terrifying nightmares that are causing mass insomnia in Mulgore. In describing these visions, Tauren sufferers are remarkably consistent in their accounts. The first thing they mention are the drums, pounding incessantly at a steady beat. All the nightmares are set in their homes, where they feel a strange compulsion to grab the broom that leans against the wall of all Tauren homes and attempt to stand it up in the middle of the room. Now, at this point, they babble on about gravity on a certain day or the alignment of Argus, which science has completely debunked. Now, when this subsides, they describe the final stage of the nightmare. The corn grinding bowl present in every house in the bluff comes to life and pursues them. They run in terror, but cannot find the door to escape. Just as the grinding stone is about to pummel them, they awake screaming, drenched in sweat. Tauren shamans say they have little defense against this assault, so if you plan on visiting Mulgore, be aware that the greatest threat you may face is your rhythmic, sweep dreams afraid of grits. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.